Please be seated. Good morning and welcome to Burlington East Presbyterian Church this Communion Sunday. My name is Jerry Fairbridge and I'm a duty elder.
There you go.
Thank you.
Okay.
If you're a visitor, please sign the book at the entrance to the church and join us after the service for fellowship. That is after the congregational photo, which Reverend McKench wants to talk to you about.
Yes, I do. I sent an email out this morning. You may or may not have had a chance to read that. We were going to go outside to take the photo, this 10th anniversary congregational photo, but it is a bit damp out there, so we've decided to take it in here after the service. So when the service is complete, we'll set up the camera equipment here, take a picture of you where you all are at the moment. That's pretty easy to do, and we'll do our jazz hands for 10 years at some point. And then very quickly, or as quickly and safely as possible, we're going to move everybody up to this section and take a picture from the balcony, and then we're going down for coffee and goodies and stuff. So try to keep it as simple as possible, but we'll step into that at the end of the service, just so you know. And like I said, bring your smiles. Thank you.
I've also been asked to draw your attention to the announcement that tickets for the church picnic go on sale today. Now, Renata wishes to make an announcement.
Good morning, and I promise to not do that next Sunday again. This is the last. So last week I made my little VBS eyes, but I promised the choir that I will never do that again. But next time I'll bring binoculars or something. I want to just make one announcement about the VBS, and that is that I actually forgot to say last week that we also really do need men. And the other thing was too, I also wanted to say that we don't have to give any lessons. We're just there for support to our leaders that come in. So it's not a big job. And as I said, if a lot of people volunteer, you only need to do 3 hours. That was the one thing. Then the other thing was a few weeks ago, Bob made an announcement about the men's choir, and he said it was not a competition. Well, I'm very competitive. So, ladies, that little piece of confetti that probably fell out of your bulletin this morning, that is about the women's choir for our Father's Day. I really want to get together next week because this is going to be a very busy Sunday. So next week after the service, if you can just all meet me up here and we'll do a short rehearsal for our Father's Day singing choir. Thanks, ladies.
And Gordon also wishes to make an announcement.
I don't know about wish, but I've been asked to do this. We have been looking for a leader for our youth in the congregation, actually for some time now. But the past couple of months, we've been working on a job description for a leader really concentrated and focused on the young people of our congregation who are generally between the grade 1 and grade 8 age. We are working with Kintail to help identify perhaps a student who would be coming to school or college in this area, perhaps living away from home, and would like to take this responsibility on as a part-time job while they are studying. They would start in September, and the position would run through until May. The reason I'm telling you this is that we are open to all suggestions. We've been working with Kintail for about 4 weeks now, and so far we haven't identified anyone. So if you know of anyone who might like to do this, it would be an ideal job for a student. We are kind of reasonably open in the ages, but it would have to be the right person. So just want to make you aware that that search is underway right now. And if you happen to think of anyone or know of anyone, please let me know. Thank you.
And now back to our minister, the Reverend McCatch.
We'll take a moment now to prepare our hearts for worship. Let's just close our eyes or sit for a moment quietly. We light the Christ candle this morning as a symbol of Christ's presence in our worship and that Christ is the peacemaker in our life and in our world.
Please read with me the responsive call to worship, which you will find in the bulletin insert. Come to Jesus, you who are thirsty.
Hallelujah.
Drink deeply of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Let your heart overflow with the living water that renews the face of the earth.
Hallelujah.
Thanks be to God. Hymn number 290, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
God has promised everyone, all of us, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, that they shall be saved and that they shall be forgiven. Let us come before God now with our prayers of adoration, confession. Let's bow our heads. Holy God, like a rushing wind, your Spirit moved upon those first disciples on the day of Pentecost. And like a purifying fire, your Spirit seared their hearts and minds with a message of salvation through Christ. Lord, we pray that you'll send your Spirit upon your church at this time and place. And you can sit up and stir up our courage, rouse us for that prophetic witness that we may join with those first disciples to continue to proclaim to the world your mighty deeds of the power of Jesus Christ in our lives. God of new creation, we also come before you this morning to confess that there have been times we failed to trust your bountiful goodness. That phrase that we keep hearing in the Psalms and all through the Old Testament and into the New Testament of that steadfast love that you have for us. We failed at times, Lord, to really fully grasp that love. By the power of your Spirit, you brought forth the earth and its creatures in abundance. We read that in the beginning of Scripture. And yet, Lord, we tend to kind of just think it all belongs to us and me alone in that sense. And we refuse to share your gifts very often. We take it for granted that these things are just here and ours to have. but they are truly your gifts. They are meant to be shared. They are meant to be thanked for. Lord, sometimes we dishonor your generosity by withholding our own charity to those in need. And that charity isn't just money, Lord. It's time. That's probably even more expensive. We withhold our time because we say we need it. I need time for me. And although there are times when that may be very true, there are also times, Lord, when we put that first. Sometimes, Lord, we betray your kindness by dealing harshly with people in our lives. And that harshness is not necessarily overt. Sometimes, Lord, it's just ignoring someone. We're not kind because we just ignore something that's on our path that we could do something about. Often, Lord, we disregard your compassion by judging others, thinking that they're doing something horrible. And they may be, Lord, but we're not called to judge them. We're called to love them, just as you have loved us with an unending love. And so, Lord, forgive us. And by the power of your Spirit, renew our hearts and free us from these sins, these times when we're not doing what you want us to do, that we may enjoy the fullness of your blessing in our lives at all times. Lord, we pray this in the confidence of the forgiveness of Jesus in our lives, and it's in his name that we speak and pray. Amen. Sisters and brothers, God offers forgiveness of our sins and the grace of repentance. Accept God's grace, repent of our sins, and we will be restored to an abundant life. Amen. Celebrating communion today. What a lovely way to be preparing our hearts for that. Thank you, choir. Join together now in our children's hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful, number 435, and during the third verse, we'll have the children come forward for a time together. All Things Bright and Beautiful.
All Things
be seated. Morning, boys and girls. How are you today? Good? You're all good? Yeah? Nice to see you guys back. Nice to see a familiar face. Yeah, who's shy? That's okay. The friend of mine is going to be helping us later this morning to take a picture. Brian's over there. He's a friend. Put your hand up, Brian, so everybody can see. Yeah, there he is there. I've known Brian for a long, long time, and Brian was over at my place visiting with me this week, and he taught me something new. Brian and I have known each other for a long time, but we teach each other things sometimes. He taught me something that I kind of already knew about, but I didn't know how to do exactly. And it has to do with this. And we know what this is, right? That's a cell phone, right? Smartphone. Did you know you can talk to your cell phone? Yeah, did you know that? I kind of knew that. Yeah, you can say things to it, it'll do stuff. Yeah, see? And I'll bet some of the grown-ups didn't know they could do that. Yeah, there's another story another time. Flashlight on. Is it on? Yeah, see? Pretty cool. Flashlight off. Wait a minute. Flashlight off. It's not working now. Oh, it's because it's listening to you. Here it goes. Yeah. I heard all the laughing. I had to think, well, maybe there's more to the sentence there. If I simply just ask it to turn the flashlight on, it will. So to really start this off without having to touch it at all, I just say, okay, Google, flashlight on. Did you hear that? Turning on, it turned it on, didn't it? Yeah. Okay, Google, flashlight off. And turned it off. I didn't have to touch it at all. You know, there's a lot of power in my cell phone, a lot of power in all cell phones, and it can do things like turn the flashlight on and off, so in the dark you can see. But what happens if I were to leave that on all the time? What would happen? Drain the battery, right? Yeah. So I can't leave it on all the time, but if I did something special, how could I keep the flashlight on all the time and not run the battery out? Yeah? Keep it in a charger, and I happen to have one here. You all know what that looks like. You know, and if I plugged it in, which I'll do, nothing new to you guys, but I've plugged the charger in the right way around and turn the security code back on to turn the flashlight on. Now it's going to work all the time?
No.
Why not? I plugged it in.
Oh,
I got to plug the other end in. Silly me. Well, I don't have a power cord up here right now. There is one up in here, and I could plug it in here. So if I plugged it in the power box there, I could leave it on all the time, right? It wouldn't run out. Well, when I got thinking about when my friend Brian told me about this, got me thinking about something, thinking about our spiritual lives. We can have God's light shine the way for us if we just ask Him, just like kind of like I did with the phone, right? But we need to be plugged in. How do we plug in that respect so we can always be spiritually strong? Yeah, what's a way? Yep, that's with the phone, yeah. And one way we can plug in to keep energized and charged up is by praying and by coming to church. You see, Brian came to my house and he taught me something that was really neat, something I kind of already knew. When you come to church on Sunday mornings, you're here to go to Sunday school and to be here in the church service, and you're learning new things about God, and that keeps you charged up just the same way the phone can keep charged up, spiritually speaking. So we need to be praying, we need to be going to Sunday school, we need to be listening to what's going on at Sunday school, and see what we can learn to help us stay sort of charged up for God. All right? That's where we're going to go now, but before we do that, let's gather around for a little prayer together. Good job. You can repeat after me, and you can too, folks. Dear Jesus, thank you for prayer. Thank you for Sunday school. Thank you for our teachers. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen. All right, boys and girls, have a good time at Sunday school and get all charged up. Let's remain seated for the last verse of our hymn. Thank you. prepare to hear God's word read this morning, let us just take a moment and bow our heads in prayer. Let's do that. Almighty God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, speak to us in the language of our own hearts, that we may hear your word and with understanding and answer your call in our lives with confidence. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Our first responsive psalm reading is taken from Psalm 104, and it's verses 24 to 35, and the reason it got broken out like that is because in the lectionary it's the, sort of the last half of verse 35, but we're going to read from 24 to 35 all the way through. This psalm is an individual's hymn of praise and follows the sort of typical structure for this kind of hymn, a hymn of praise. It's an imperative to praise God. It gives us a reason to do that. The reason that is the reason to offer prayer. It is a renewed imperative to be praising. And so it's an encouragement. It's an act of praise in and of itself, but it's also a word that tells us to be praying, praising rather, all the time. It's telling us that God is truly in control and unites everything in the human condition. Psalm 104, beginning at verse 24.
Please read responsively. O Lord, how manifold are your works. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. There go the ships and Leviathan that you have formed to sport in it. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. May the glory of the Lord endure forever.
May the Lord rejoice in all his works.
Who look on the earth and it trembles. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. Let sinners be consumed from the earth. And let the wicked be no more.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
We continue to finish up this week seven of Sundays of Easter. Our Old Testament reading is from Acts. And it isn't the Old Testament, obviously, but we're reading the Acts, early Acts of the Apostles. So we have this narrative of what's taken place following the Easter event. And today being Pentecost Sunday, this is the story in Acts chapter 2 of the Pentecost. And to give just a brief background to this, Pentecost is not uniquely a Christian festival. It is a Jewish feast of weeks, Shavuot. And the word Pentecost is 50 days, represents the word 50 days. It's Greek for that, 50. And it's signifying the 50 days, or as we have, the 7 weeks of Passover. And it had a lot to do with an agricultural background, and we can see, as I'll talk later, some instruction about this. It starts in the book of Deuteronomy. There's a citation in the reading that we're reading this morning from the book of Acts that's quoting from the book of Joel, and is talking about what's going to happen in the last days. So we have an event that's taking place in the first days, talking about events that will take place in the last days. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, page 119 in your pew Bibles. When the day of Pentecost had come, and they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and other parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They're filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" Our New Testament reading is found on page 174 in your New Testament Bibles. It's 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 3. Paul's talking about these spiritual utterances, and for the Corinthians, this was not something that they were unaccustomed to. It was something that was taking place on a fairly regular basis, and he's clarifying in this reading about the gifts in general terms. And we'll delve into that as we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 3. "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, 'Let Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." Our gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. It's page 115 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bibles. And this is the account of Jesus coming to the disciples the first time. And we remember, rolling back a few weeks ago, we talked about Thomas, and this is the event that Jesus showed himself to the disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. And then shortly right after this story is being told, he appears a second time, but that time has Thomas in the room. And it was something very unique about the words that Jesus has for the disciples that we're going to be focusing on in our sermon series today. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. "When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you.' When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.'" This is the word of God. Join together now in our next hymn, 313, "O Worship the King." Please be seated. Today is the Christian holy day of Pentecost. It's celebrated, as I said, on the 50th day of Easter, and it commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and the others, as we read about just now in the book of Acts. It's also known as the Festival of Weeks and Feast of Harvest, and it's talked about in Exodus and Deuteronomy, and in particularly the word Pentecost comes from the word 50, as we read it in Leviticus 23, chapter 23, verse 16. You shall count until the day after the seventh Sabbath, 50 days, then you shall present an offering of the new grain to the Lord. So it's been around even for a while when this event took place in Acts. Let's bow our heads in prayer as we think about this morning. Lord, as we read in Psalm 104 just now, may my meditation be pleasing to you, Lord, in whom I rejoice. You are our Maker and our Redeemer. Open our hearts now, Lord. Help us to calm our minds that we can hear that which you have for us this day. This is a day of Pentecost and a day of communion, Lord. Speak to us in that light. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I was doing some research on sort of the history of Pentecost. I like to do that a lot, as you know. And I came across the term Holy Spirit holes. And I never heard of that before myself, but apparently in medieval churches, in some medieval churches, they would punch holes in the ceilings and roofs of these churches to symbolize an openness to God. And on Pentecost, they would release doves through these holes and drop bundles of rose petals through the holes on top of everybody to represent the Spirit of God rising and the love of God coming down upon us. It'd be kind of a neat thing, I suppose, if we were to do that. We might get wet on a day like today, but it would be an interesting symbol. The church was full of symbols in those times. We kind of look at the church in many ways and some of the things that have been done historically with almost disdain, but when we realize why they were doing some of the things and not just doing them, true meaning does come back. What a lovely thought that would be. And another thing I found, that when we think of the Holy Spirit, the bird we often think of is the dove. And again, researching this into the Celtic Christians, they didn't choose a dove to represent the Spirit of God. They chose the wild goose to represent the Holy Spirit. So I can't imagine releasing wild geese in the church to go up through the roof, but it would be interesting, I suppose. So the next time you're down at the lake and you're seeing Canada geese down there, that should remind you now of the Holy Spirit of God honking, I guess, in so many ways. Today is Pentecost, as I said time and again, and normally on this particular Sunday, I spend a lot of time talking about the story that as we read it in Acts, and it's an important event in our church history and something that I think we do need to spend time on, but I wanted really to think about that visit that Jesus had with the disciples just prior to Pentecost actually taking place, as we read in John chapter 20, and the words that he spoke to them. There's four words in particular that he spoke to them. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Ephesians 6 says this, "For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand all evil on that all that evil day, and having done everything to stand firm." Describes the attributes in that analogy that Paul's giving. And he finishes it up with this: pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. Peace be with you. I often hear people inside but outside the church, and I've talked about this a couple of times. I've been putting these funny little pictures up on Instagram with Bible verses and sayings and stuff like memes, they're called. And one of the ones I put up just recently was somebody looking up rather kind of angrily, you know, and it just repeats them looking like this. And underneath I'd written that look you want to give somebody when they tell you what a Christian should live like and they've never even opened a Bible. You want to just kind of, you know. Because often we hear the word, well, Christianity's all about love. That's it. It's all about love. We need to love. We need to love. We need to love. And that's true in some ways. It's true in a big way. But the words of Jesus struck me as I was meditating on this week. Peace be with you. Paul talks about troubled times. We live in troubled times. The last number of Sundays in particular that I've had to come up in this pulpit, if we think just at the past week, the events that have taken place. 2 weeks ago, a horrible event took place. People died. Just the other day, this weekend, it happened again. We're living in troubled times. And although we're somewhat disconnected to it, living here in Burlington, who would have thought London, England would have been a place that they were reporting those kinds of news events on a weekly basis? Peace be with you. We need peace in our world. If we're going to summarize, I think, what Christ's message is, it's peace. It's peace that's driven forward by God's love, His unending love, His everlasting love, but it's a peace. We are warring all the time, it seems. And the whole business of repentance and sin and that whole topic, the whole sort of instance of the message that we read about in Genesis when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, a war began in that sense. Peace was lost at that point. The relationship with God, the peaceful, loving relationship that they had with God ended at that point. Christ came into this world 7 weeks ago in our timeline calendar here to restore that peace. Christ speaks those words when he sees the disciples in this particular moment and says, "Peace be with you." Take these words basically and deliver them to the world. If we're going to do anything, that's what we need to be doing as Christian people. And we hear about remarkable situations in church where peace is brought about in big ways. Where some organization has got together and they've gone out and done something that's remarkable, something that maybe hits the news even, where, yeah, peace was obtained in this particular case. But peace can happen in all sorts of small ways too, we as Christian people. By living with God and responding to God, and answering that call to peace in every situation we find ourselves in. A nurse who's been working with an Alzheimer's patient for 10 years, knowing that those patients are never going to get well or give testimonials to say this nurse really loved me and took care of me, that's peace in a world. That's helping a troubled person quietly and peacefully. A woman who cares for her children with humor, love, and kindness, even though she's been left alone to raise a child by herself. She's bringing peace into this world and is choosing to do so. A teen who goes out and leads her community in starting a recycling project, for instance, is bringing peace into this world and may never get in the news, may never get thanked by anyone. The list I've got here is long, but we can all think of an example in our lives. Something small that we're doing that's bringing the peace that God wants by these small acts that we do. And they're not just done because we're trying again, as I said a few weeks ago, just to be nice people. They're here because the peace that God has given us in our hearts, we're responding to that. We're responding and bringing peace about. There's a piece of liturgy in the church, and I'm going to say that word, but it's the order of service. You know, as I've said many times, I've been to a lot of churches in my time, a lot of different denominations in my time, and even some of the Presbyterian churches that I've been working with over the years, too. They don't have this. Some of them. They don't have this piece of paper. And they proudly say so, in my experience. We don't have an order of service. We just let the Spirit lead. And that's true. That's what they're striving for. But every Sunday, it's the same thing. They get up and they have an opening call and they sing a hymn and they do a prayer and then they do a sermon and then they do a hymn and they give a blessing and they leave. And it bounces a little bit. But there's an order of service. There's a liturgy to that service. It's just not written down. Other ones put it up on a board, on a screen, and make the same claim. There's still a liturgy there. And there's a piece of liturgy that I did in a Presbyterian church before I started here, and I was spoken to about afterwards. I get spoken to all the time. And it was something small. I didn't even think about it, but it's something that we were doing when I was at school. I asked everyone to pass the peace of Christ and say, "Peace be with you," just as Christ did. And the person came up to me and said, "Well, you know, we had a minister in our church, and he left to go to the other side." And that's exactly what this lady said to me, to go to the other side. He became an Anglican priest. And he would do those papist-sounding things in our church service, like passing the peace of Christ. So when I did that, they just didn't like it at all. I didn't even think about it being something they would do in an Anglican or Catholic church. It was just something that I thought was awfully lovely. Peace be with you. What a nice thing to do. That's what happens when you don't know liturgy from other places, I guess. Peace be with you. All of you are going to do that today when you go home. Just by simply doing small acts of kindness that you do, you're going to be passing that peace of Christ on to someone else, whatever that small thing may be. But this morning, just as we get ready to do our communion, this passing the peace of Christ in the bigger church history as a form of liturgy, as a regular act that's taken place, would often be done before communion was held. So we're going to do that too. I want you to turn to someone beside you and just take their hand. Peace of Christ be with you. You can do that now. Peace of Christ be with you. Peace of Christ be with you all. Another reason I point this out today is because we need peace in our world. And it's been a part of our church history, the bigger church with a capital C church history, from the very beginning. Jesus said it to the disciples the first time that he met them after being raised from the dead. And I hear too often from Christian people, and especially non-Christian people, because I'm in contact with a lot of them, but Christian people too, "Oh, I don't want to do anything like the church did it. This doesn't mean anything." It can mean something. Right now, it meant something. We all shared Christ's peace with one another. We've all shared God's love and peace. It meant something. It meant something. As we move to communion this morning, I want us to remember that we're passing the peace of Christ in the act of communion that we participate in. And when we leave this service today, any small act that we participate in, whatever it may be, we're passing the peace of Christ to someone else in this world. And that's going to spin forward. And God's love and God's peace will continue. Because we're doing it, because of God's love, Christ's love in our lives. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to just take a moment and the peace of Christ be with you. We're saying the very same words that our risen Lord said when he greeted the disciples in this account we read this morning. And through the power of your Spirit, Jesus is speaking those very same words as we shared them this morning for a blessing and comfort. Lord, continue with us this day. Help us to be thinking about passing the peace of Christ to someone that we encounter in this day, small or big. It's sharing your love. We thank you, Lord. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. With thanksgiving for God's gifts and love to us, let us offer our first fruits of our labors, our tithes and our offerings. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for the peace that you give to us in our lives. Sometimes it doesn't seem that it's there, but it truly is given to us on a daily basis. We thank you for your love. Lord, bless this offering that it can bring your peace and your love into a world that truly, truly needs it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. We come before God now with our prayers of the people. And as we've been doing in the last these last weeks of Easter, we're going to continue this morning and give an opportunity for you to say a name of someone in your life that's in need, someone that could use a prayer, someone that could use a healing, someone that just is in your mind and that needs to be strengthened. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity we have, this responsibility that we have week to week to come before you with prayers of your people. Lord, in particular, we are praying for the families that were affected by the terrorist acts just this last few days in London and Syria. Lord, it's a horrific thing that's taking place, and it seems like it's escalating. It seems like there's almost no hope and no peace, but we know that there is a hope and a peace, your hope, your peace. And we pray for the families and friends that have been affected by this terrible act. And Lord, we continue to pray for the people here in our city of Burlington, people who in some cases have come here because of situations in other parts of the world who are trying to start over. We pray for them, Lord, that you can strengthen them and give them the food and the jobs and the placements that they need. And Lord, as we come before you from week to week at this particular time, we all have someone in our life, sometimes more than one person. And Lord, we want to bring those names to you and unite our minds and hearts in agreement. We don't know always what the need is, but we know that name, and we, in faith, can hold that up to you. And so now, Lord, we take a moment and we offer those names to you. Lord, these names are offered so we can hear them. Other names have been offered in silence. These are acts of kindness, acts of peace. These are things that happen, Lord, that the person we're offering the prayer for may not even know about, may not even ever know that they've been being prayed for. But this is what you call us to do, Lord, to live in peace and to act in peace, to live with one another and care for one another. You hear our prayers. And you answer our prayers. Lord, we hold these up to you in faith, knowing that you are listening and acting. In your mercy, Almighty God, receive our prayers, and according to your wisdom, provide all that we need. We pray this through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, he took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." And every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes. With thanksgiving, we offer God our thankful praise as we join together in communion. We join together now in our communion hymn, number 528. Jesus calls us here to meet him. Remain standing as we join together in the Apostles' Creed. It's printed in your order of service this morning. Let's say this together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We'll be following the order as you'll see in your hymn book, found at number 564. The Lord's Prayer that's at the end is not the one we'll be saying. It's the one that we typically say here in our church with debts and debtors, just to keep that in mind. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Lord, with great joy we praise you. For you are God, and you created heaven and earth, and you made us truly in your image. You've kept covenant with us, that steadfast love, even when we fell into sin. And so we give thanks for Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, who by his life, his death, and ultimately his resurrection, opened to us a new way to be with you everlasting. Therefore, we join in our voices with the whole of creation to lift our hearts in joyful praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we give you thanks for Christ, for Jesus, because before he suffered, he gave us this particular memorial of his sacrifice to do until he returns. At that Last Supper, he took the bread and he broke it, and he told them to do that always in remembrance. And he took a cup after that supper and he held it up and he said, "Drink this, it's given for you. Do it always in remembrance of me. For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup as we do this day, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, we proclaim our faith as signed and sealed in this sacrament. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again." Lord, we also thank you for the work of your Spirit, remembered this day on the Sunday of Pentecost, so that the work of your Spirit in our lives can represent for us with this bread and this cup that we participate in on a communion Sunday such as this, can represent the body and blood of Christ. Lord, we thank you that Spirit is filling us even now, not always with lots of feeling and pizzazz, Lord, but that steadfast filling that is truly of you. May we and all your saints, Lord, be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into your kingdom, as not only we are celebrating communion this day, many, many churches are. Lord, we now come before you and we say together the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." People of God, the bread that we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we are all taken from that same loaf. The cup for which we give thanks is a sharing of the blood of Christ, and the cup that we drink is our participation in that blood of Christ. Congregation of Jesus Christ, the Lord has prepared this, his table, for all who love him and trust him alone for their salvation, all who are truly sorry for their sins and want to repent of those sins, and who sincerely believe in the Lord Jesus as their Savior and King, and desire to live in obedience to him as Lord, all are now invited to come with gladness to the table of the Lord. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Amen. Christ took the bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." On the night that he gathered with these disciples, he then took a cup and he said, "This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Bow our heads in prayer. loving, kind, peaceful God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, given us a small taste, Lord, of that heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Keep us in the power of your Spirit, Lord, now, to show the peace and the love that you've given us, to work to your praise and to your glory, everything that we do for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We'll join together in our final hymn this morning, number 652. 652, I'm going to make sure my glasses are still working right. And we'll sing verses 1 and 4 of this hymn. Called this week to be witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means we've seen something miraculous and we're going to share that. And the words that we're going to use, peace be with you. Because Christ rose from the dead and forgave us from our sins and set that war, set that distance, closed it all up and brought peace into our lives. And we're out there to bring peace into our world. And now may the grace of God the Father bless you with that peace. May the love of Christ, God's Son, sustain you in all joy, and may the power of the Holy Spirit fill you with courage this day and forevermore. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Join together now in our choral together. Go in now in peace.